Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan.
As a preacher, but also as an individual, I want so much to be able to be liked and to be accepted by every individual that I come in contact with. But I have learned over the course of my life, as well as even during the course of my ministry, that that's not always possible. There are always individuals who, for one reason or another, might not like me as a person. Sometimes, even as a gospel preacher, sometimes people look at the things that I might teach or even the ways that I might present the lessons, and from time to time, there are those individuals who do not like my style of preaching from time to time with those things. And I surmise that in all of that, that I'm not alone, that all of us want so much to be able to be liked and to be accepted by everyone, yet at the same time, I pray that we're all honest with ourselves and to realize that we're not always going to be able to accomplish that. Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to like everything about you. And interesting as it may be, sometimes they're going to be forthcoming with all of this. And those times can be quite hard. Amen? It can be hard to swallow the fact that people do not like us, that people maybe do not like the character, maybe they do not like our style, maybe they do not like the way in which we dress. And in all of those times when people come forth with that information, it can be quite challenging to our mind, it can be challenging to our lives, but then in like figure, at times it can even be challenging to our faith and faithfulness to the Lord. Tonight I want us to consider the life of Jesus. I want us to look at Jesus Christ during the course of His life here and to understand that Jesus Himself was rejected. And then in doing so, I want us to look at some ways in which Jesus dealt with rejection and then take and to apply these standards to our everyday walk of life. That whenever we face rejection, whenever we have those times when people stand in opposition to us, no matter what the cause, either on a personal basis or whenever we're standing for the cause of Christ, that you and I can continue to be the people that God will be happy and pleased with as we seek to serve Him. Good people, when we think in regard to Jesus, Jesus was sent to this world by the Father. He was sent to earth, and good people, today, tonight I ask and I state, what a beautiful depiction or picture of God's love for mankind, whom He had created after His very image. We also understand, as is taught through the Scripture here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that Jesus is heaven's eternal plan and that He is heaven's perfect plan for the redemption of mankind, for making man right before God. We understand concerning the introduction of this plan, it is found in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God there in the garden had promised that He would send forth a Messiah, a Savior into the world. But good people, we also understand concerning the fulfillment of God's promise there in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, as the Apostle Paul taught in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a virgin, born under the law. Jesus Christ, why did He come to this world? Because, good people, He was first and foremost sent here by our God. Also, we understand that while Jesus was here, He extended God's love. He extended His personal love to every single soul that He came in contact with while He was here. But also, in an ultimate sense, He extended God's love whenever He died at Calvary's cross for the sins of man. God is not a respecter of persons. Every soul, every person was created after the very image of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And placed within him a living soul, an eternal soul. And Jesus, during the course of His life here, good people, we understand as we look at the fullness of the New Testament Scripture, that He loved both the Jew and the Gentile. He realized the love of God. And that reason is why we see Jesus constantly, each and every day, going about doing good. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus went into all the cities and into all of the villages. and performing miracles and proclaiming the gospel, the good news about the salvation that would be extended in him. Jesus was not a respecter of persons. Jesus extended God's love, his love, to every individual that he came in contact with here on the earth. Also, we understand why Jesus did this. The Bible tells us that he came to seek and to save the lost, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. That is indeed his mission statement. He wants man to know then, as well as he wants us to know today, why he came to this world. He constantly went forth seeking, searching hearts who were looking for the will of God, who were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And good people, certainly we understand that he came here to die for the sins of man, to provide an opportunity for mankind to have salvation. And this is brought out in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And if you were living during that time frame, I believe that it would have been very evident concerning the fact that he had been sent by God, also concerning the fact that he was here to extend love, and that he was not excluding anyone in all of this, because he came to seek and to save anyone and everyone who was looking for God's will. How was he treated? What did the people do? How did the people respond to him? The people, they rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Jews, the Bible identifies for us, hated Jesus. They despised the Son of God. They plotted to kill him because of the things that he taught. The things that he taught, they took offense to. The ways that he taught, they did not like. In all of this, then, it led to them wrongfully accusing him, bringing up false accusations in order to put him on trial, that they might be able then to fulfill their desire to kill him. They shamefully murdered Jesus Christ because they did not like him. Because the Bible tells us that without any question, these people hated Jesus. How did Jesus deal with this rejection? Good people, Jesus dealt with the rejection in the same way in which he expects you and I to deal with rejection. Jesus was able to deal with these things, and Jesus was able to be successful and to go on with his life because Jesus always anticipated that he was going to be rejected. I believe that he knew full well what it was that the prophets had prophesied, namely here in the book of Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 12, that he would be despised, that he would not be the popular individual living at that time, even though that he was without any question the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And as a result of this, he was not only despised, but he was rejected. And ultimately he was beaten and killed at Calvary's cross for man's sin. And Jesus knew what the prophets had foretold would take place to him because of the fact that he was indeed not what the people was looking for. He knew, according to what is found in the book of Mark chapter 8 and verse 31, that he would suffer, that he would suffer greatly at the hands of his own people. But yet Jesus Christ, doing and knowing these things, he willingly came to this world, and he met his opposition, knowing that it was going to come directly in the face, and stood strong and stern unto the very end. What is his message to those of us today who are New Testament Christians? He stated to the apostles there in the book of John chapter 15 and verse 18, that the world will hate us because, in fact, the world hated him. And today, you and I can trust that the world will hate us because we are different than the world. We seek to live our lives according to the standards of God. And the world does not want to accept those standards. And by the fact that we live our lives in a different light than what they are seeking to live, they are not pleased with us. But also, if we want to take it to the next level, whenever you and I seek to tell them about the way that God not only commands us to live as His children, but that God wants all of mankind to live according to those standards, good people, sometimes the world will begin to hate us. But you and I also understand is that it's not only the world who can hate us, who can reject us. Sometimes even it's our family and our friends. And worse yet, sometimes even members of the body of Christ. in all of these things, certainly, we need to understand and to anticipate rejection. And when we anticipate the fact that we are going to be rejected in the same way in which Jesus anticipated He was going to be rejected, then we will be well on our way in overcoming the rejection. Not in the fact that it will, or not trying to say that it will not hurt us in any way, but rather, good people, it will not be able to destroy us. Which I believe is indeed Satan's goal in placing before us rejection. But also, I believe that Jesus was able to overcome rejection due to the fact that He knew and He used the Scripture on a continual basis. According to what is found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit. And this, in the context, speaks in reference to the men of old. It speaks about the prophets who had spoken by being led through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus knew what the Spirit of God had portrayed, had communicated to mankind during the course of the children of Israel. And Jesus knew all of the Scripture. And good people, during the course of His life, Jesus constantly had the words of God upon His lips and upon His heart. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, when Jesus was tempted, in all points I might add, even as you and I are tempted, but yet He was without sin. How did Jesus defeat Satan? He used Scripture at him each time. And in fact, also we understand as we consider the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew chapter 5 through Matthew chapter 12, Jesus came and He taught the scribes and the Pharisees, and the Bible tells us that they were astonished at Him. Why? Because Jesus knew the Scripture, and Jesus was able to handle the Scripture, the Word of God, with complete accuracy and boldness as He stood before the people during that day. Today, what is it that God wants of us whenever we are rejected? God wants us to know His Word as well as to be able to use His Word. We need to be like the Bereans there in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 11 who studied the Scriptures daily. We need to make certain that we are indeed studying the Scriptures and good people in encouraging this tonight. I'm not asking you to pick up the Bible and to read it periodically, or to pick it up and to read it maybe as you're getting ready to go to bed and it's something good that you're going to fall asleep by. But rather that we read the Bible, that we study the Bible daily, digging into what it is that God's message has to say to us today as we study the Bible, as we read from the Bible, we read to learn, and then we learn to apply these things to our lives, and we apply these things until our life here upon the face of the earth is no more. And whenever we have committed to doing these things, to learning the Scripture and using the Scripture to this level, the fact that the world will reject us and others will have no bearing upon our salvation in the day of the Lord. But also we need to understand is that Jesus was able, I believe, to handle rejection because He was constantly there attending the synagogue services. The children of Israel had been commanded to worship God upon the Sabbath. And when we think into consideration concerning Jesus, Jesus took advantage of every opportunity He had to be with His fellow Jews. Why did He take advantage of the opportunities that God had placed before Him to assemble with the Jews in the synagogue? Good people, first and foremost, I believe because He had been commanded to do so. And in order for it to be accurately stated concerning Him, He had to fulfill those promises and those commandments of God in order for Him to be the perfect Son of God. But also, we need to understand is that Jesus understood that this was going to give Him an opportunity to stand before His people as He oftentimes did and to proclaim without question that He was the Messiah, that He was indeed heaven's eternal plan that was going to come to fulfillment in His death at Calvary's cross. But also, good people, I believe that He was there because He was encouraged from the fellow Jews, and His attendance and like figure then helped to encourage others. Isn't that what God expects you and I to understand concerning our worship? According to what we find in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the Bible says, as is the manner of some, during the time in which the Hebrews writer was writing this epistle, we understand that some of these Hebrew Christians had forsaken the Lord. They had abandoned their faith. They had stopped assembling together with the saints. And as a result of that, the Hebrews writer is letting them know that they, in doing so, they've walked away from the Lord. They had had a relationship with God. They were right with God. They were justified in the sight of God. But now, because they have abandoned, because they are no longer attending with the saints in a faithful manner, they have walked away from the only salvation and the only Savior that offers salvation that is out there. And today, God, I believe, expects you and I, His people, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it ought to be within our heart, should it not, to make certain that we do all that we can possibly do, all that is within our power of controlling, to make certain that we are here every time that the doors are opened, every time that the saints meet. Why? Because our elders, in their wisdom, I believe, have established these opportunities for us to be together. And I realize that in part tonight I'm speaking to the choir. But yet at the same time, isn't it nice to know that we can continue to hear these things, even though that we may be in faithful attendance, and it ought to inspire us to make certain that we never slack off in this area. God certainly expects His saints to assemble together. Why does He want us to assemble together? Because we are here to worship Him. And because God is here in our presence. And because God has commanded us to do so. And these things ought to motivate us to want to be here, but in like figure, so that we can rub shoulders with each other to be encouraged by our brothers and sisters in Christ, and to hear another portion, another lesson from God's holy and inspired Word. When you and I give ourselves to assembling as God commands us to do, we will be able to be strengthened by the saints and by our worshiping God, that the rejection that the world has to offer will really be nothing in comparison. But also, good people, we understand concerning Jesus is that Jesus understood His role in life. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 1, Isaiah identified that Jesus was coming to this world, the Messiah, to proclaim God's message to man, as well as we consider on in the other prophets, that He was coming to die for the sins of mankind. In all of this, according to what is brought out in the book of John, chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus realized His role and His relationship with God. He knew that He was deity Himself and a part of heaven's eternal plan in order to redeem mankind. And when Jesus came to this world, good people, He focused every ounce of His energy, every bit of His attention was upon doing exactly as God, as the Godhead in eternity had planned for Him to do. So He did everything that God had purposed for Him. And tonight I tell you that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. We have been created after the image of God. And being created after the image of God, then God has placed within us a soul that will dwell not only while we're here, but in eternity. And in order for our soul to spend eternity in heaven with God, we must do the works that God has sent us to do. We have purpose in life. And a part of our purpose in life certainly requires us to live and to be productive citizens here in the United States. And a part of our role here as mothers and fathers, we have that responsibility of maintaining the home and providing for the home and protecting the home. But also, I believe that God wants us to realize that we have responsibilities to the kingdom, to the church of God, to the church of Christ, that is the church that belongs to Jesus. And to fulfill the role, our role, with the talents that God has given to each and every one of us. And whenever we do so, good people, certainly we can trust that God is glorified. But also whenever we understand in a very real and personal way the role that we have and the importance of that role that God has given us, and the ability that we have to not only strengthen our faith, but even to strengthen the faith of others and to bring others to Christ, those times of rejection will mean nothing. Why? Because we will be focused upon our role and our relationship with the Lord is what Jesus was with the Father. Jesus also was able to overcome rejection, I believe, because He was committed to doing right. In the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 36 through 46, Jesus is taken up there in the garden, and He is tempted three times. And do you remember the words of Jesus there? He says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He was tempted to the point to where He wanted, if at all possible, for the cup to pass from Him. If heaven had a plan B, it's time to enact that plan B. But good people, Jesus knew that there was not a plan B. That indeed, He was the plan. And if He did not die at Calvary's cross, then heaven's plan would be no more. And therefore, Jesus said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." And everything that we see Jesus doing, Jesus was constantly working to do the will of our God. And whenever we take into consideration the will of God, God's will for mankind, and everything that we see pertaining to God was right and righteous. And Jesus was about doing that which was right and those things which were righteous constantly in His life. In fact, we understand, as Peter saw it, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in His mouth." He was perfect, and He came to do that perfect will and the right things that God commanded of Him. And today, as His people, you and I must commit in life to always doing what is right. I remember as a child that whenever I would be wronged, it was so easy and so tempting to come back at somebody with harsh words, maybe if they had spoken harshly towards me, or to come back with some type of retaliation if someone had done something against me. And I remember a cousin of mine saying, whenever he would do something to me and then I would come back, and he would say, "When you least expect it, Kevin, expect it." And I learned to anticipate that he was going to retaliate, and then I was going to come back at him, and that's just kind of the way that it was. And my mother said those words of that old adage that says, "Two wrongs don't make a right." And you and I need to realize that in spite of what someone might think of us, no matter what they might say, or sadly even what they might do to us, two wrongs will not make a right, but rather to always make certain that we are committed. You and I are constantly seeking to do those things that are right. We're doing what is taught in the book of 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. "He that saith he abide in him ought also so to walk, even as he walked," to walk in the steps and the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But also, good people, Jesus was able to overcome rejection because He did not get discouraged to the point to where He was willing to quit. Was Jesus ever discouraged during the course of His life and ministry? I think sometimes as I read and study concerning the life of Jesus is that maybe He faced more discouragement and disheartenment than He did encouragement. Why do I state that? Because it seems like everywhere He went, people did not want to listen to Him. They were dull of hearing. Where He went and did good things, performed miracles, seldom do we find that people truly appreciated what it was that He had done for them. And I can only imagine how Jesus must have grieved within Himself, even as what we find here in the book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37, where Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you were not willing." Good people, I believe that those are words where Jesus is grieving over the state and the condition of Israel, God's people. He wanted so much for them to listen to Him, to accept Him. But what did they do? They rejected Him. And how did Jesus respond?
he continued on full force with the will of God. Discouraged? Likely so. But a quitter? Never. In fact, in the book of Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, Jesus told His apostles there, encourage them, saying, always pray. And then He says, never lose heart. That Greek word there for lose heart is akeo, which literally translates to be weary, to lose heart, or to utterly have spiritlessness. You say, Kevin, what does that mean? In today's language, that would transliterate never give up. To realize that indeed people will reject us. They will reject us sometimes because personally they just do not like us. Sometimes they will reject us because there may be a personality conflict. And sadly, sometimes they will reject us because of the fact that we stand for, because we live with, and because we proclaim the life of Jesus in our life and the message that He wants mankind to hear. In all of this, God encourages us during those times of discouragement, never give up. Rejection, it's bound to happen. If you've not experienced it, come to me. I can share some stories with you. It's going to happen, but never, never allow yourself to succumb to the point to where you walk away from the Lord and walk away from the faith. Tonight, though, we want to ask another question in regard to rejecting. Have you rejected Jesus, our Lord? We want you to think about that for just a few moments. Have you rejected our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you have, our God patiently and eagerly waits for you to come home. God loves you so much that He was willing to offer to sacrifice His Son in your place, in my place, and in your place. We are worthy of death because of the sin that we commit against God. But Jesus came in and He took that sword from us. And good people, He died in our stand. And now as a result of His death, He has given us an opportunity, a way that we can have the forgiveness of sin. What way is that? Through the shedding of His blood conjoined with our obedience to His will. What must we do? The Bible says that we must confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God. We must give ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to be raised out of that grave of baptism to walk in newness of life.